Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
Services, we're going to have different people doing messages, so please come and support these guys who are going to be doing messages, some for the first time, and give them some insight into preaching and sharing the Word of God. Stewardship is just being responsible to God with what He's given to us. Stewardship is God gives you so much. And you have to understand that what He gives you isn't yours. It still belongs to Him. And, you know, we always talk about time, treasure, talents, testimony, all these things. He gives us these things, and they're really not ours. He's just lent them to us to use for His glory and in His way. We're just a conduit for all these things. But in all of this, we need to be committed to use them the right way. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, first three verses say, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." So, basically what it's saying is, if you're saved, if you're born again, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, then you need to get rid of some stuff, and the bad stuff, and replace it with the good stuff. We need to be committed to doing this in our lives. That word "tasted" merely means experienced. So if you've experienced the Lord, and that word "gracious" has several meanings. It means to be kind, good, or easy. It's the same word when Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the same word as used here for gracious. So if we realize that the Lord has been kind to us, that the Lord has been easy on us, that we've taken on His yoke, we've accepted His salvation, we've experienced that, we have a new life. And He tells us we need to be committed to, first of all, removing some desires in our lives. Several verses that talk about these things. In Hebrews 12:1, remember, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside" what? "Every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us." Why? "Let us run with patience the race that's set before us." These sins that we have in our lives sometimes, these bad things, the things that God says you shouldn't have these in our life, they're like a runner with a pack full of rocks. And, you know, the Boston Marathon, we just saw it. Terrible thing as far as a tragedy. But there were some good things came out of it. There was a picture that I saw of a group of soldiers who ran the marathon with full backpacks on. Oh, God bless them. But sometimes, you know, you know they completed a race. They didn't win, but they completed it. But they would have completed it a whole lot faster if they hadn't been carrying all that weight on their back. And that's what God says when He says, "Get rid of the sins that easily beset us." We're in a race, a spiritual race for God. And He wants us to get rid of some things out of our lives. Now, Peter here mentions just a few of them. We're just going to go through these quickly because we probably know this. First of all, it says malice. It didn't say some malice. It said all malice. And malice is causing trouble. It's just being bad or naughty. Some people just like being nasty. They just like being mean. Even Christians sometimes like being mean. And Paul, or Peter here, if I ever say Paul wrote this, I mean Peter, you know. I'm so used to preaching about people, about Paul, that I switch to Peter and it confuses me. Peter wrote, you're to lay aside not just some malice. He wants you to get rid of everything in your life that causes you to do bad. Wow. That could be different for different people. And the only people know about it is you. Sometimes it's not just the bad that's in our, and what people see, it's the bad that's what's in our head that we think about. Oh man, I could do this person bad, I could do that person bad. I could be mean to this person. If I only did this. That's malice, and God's Word says, what are we supposed to do with it? Get rid of it. How much of it? All of it. And so we're to get rid of all malice. It also says get rid of all guile. That just means to be deceit, be deceitful, either in your words or actions. Many times, even as believers, we try to trick people. And that's what guile kind of means. It means to trick people. We're not talking about just having a little fun here. We're talking about tricking people so that you can get something. Have you ever tried to trick somebody to get your way? Try to convince them that black was white and white was black just to get your way? Think about it. Maybe it was when you were witnessing to somebody and they asked you a question. And so you didn't know the answer to that one, so you tried to trick them into believing something else, hoping that they would forget about the first question they asked you. Or sometimes it's you're trying to get somebody else in trouble. And so you trick them in a way by using something they may have said, but not everything they said. I mentioned the newspapers and the news. We see this on the news all the time. Somebody will say, you know, the actual quote is a whole paragraph, and the paper will only show the one sentence that makes everything look bad. It makes it look like they said this, but if you heard the whole paragraph, you'd realize that's not really what they said. And we try to trick people by only using part of a sentence or part of what somebody said. I started using Facebook not too long ago. Actually, I use Facebook mainly for two reasons. One is I write occasionally write on there because I know I have friends that live in the area that don't go to church, just to try to invite them so I can invite them, you know, tell them something's happening in church. But I also like to play words with friends, but that's a whole different story. But on Facebook, all the time people are putting up these conspiracy theories. This person said this. This official said that. But when you check it out, you find out that's not really what they said. So they're trying to trick people into believing that this official is one way when really they're another way. And so we get all angry. And I must admit, sometimes I've even mentioned them like on a Wednesday night and found out later I was not true because, did you know Facebook isn't always true? I hate to say this. I know this busts some people's bubble, but we can't always believe what's there. And we have to be careful to get rid of guile in our lives, trying to be tricksters to get our own way. Not just some guile, all guile. And the opposite of guile is truth. So we must always be truthful to people. Then it says getting rid of hypocrisies. This is pretending to be something you're not. Many, many believers are this way. Man, they are Joe and Josephine Christian on Sunday morning. They come to church, they're all dressed up, they're ready to. They sing loudest, they amen the most, and when they go home, it's over for the week. People at work may not even know that they're believers. I went to church with a guy when I was still in the Navy. This guy started coming to our church, and for a while I only saw him at church. He was also in the Navy, but he was stationed somewhere else. And I thought, man, this guy is the, if you looked up Christian in the dictionary, this guy's picture would be there. But then he got transferred to the same submarine I was on. And I saw him in his daily life, and I realized something. He was a hypocrite. And you know, a lot of people don't even come to church because they say, well, it's just full of hypocrites. Well, it wouldn't be if we'd listen to the Word of God and get rid of all hypocrisy. And stop trying to be something that we're not on Sunday and be something different during the week. When you're born again, you're a child of God. You're a child of God 24/7. Amen? You're always His child. You're always born again. And if you're not, if you think you're only born again on Sundays, you're not born again at all. Hypocrisy. He says, get rid of it. Stop pretending to be a Christian. Be a Christian if you're one. And if you're not a Christian, stop pretending you are one. Because that ruins it for everybody. Instead of pretending to be one, accept Christ as your Savior and become one. That's the key. But get rid of hypocrisy, said. Then he says, get rid of envies. Lay aside. Put them away. Cast them off. Get rid of envy. That's jealousy. That's grieving at another's good. Ever been envious of somebody else? We see it in church. Oh, man. Why did she get elected treasurer? I'm a better treasurer than she is. Why is he a deacon? I'd do a better job. Why is he the pastor? He don't know what he's taught. And so we become envious of what somebody else has. Why do they have a lot of money and I don't have any? Why do they have a job and I got laid off? Why? And we always want what somebody else has instead of realizing if we're following the Lord, we have what He wants. If God wanted us to be that other thing, that's what we would be. Right? That's a hard thing to realize. Wait a minute. They're rich and I'm not, but I'm as smart as they are. Why aren't I rich? Because God doesn't want you to be rich. The other person may say, why am I so rich? It's such a burden. Because God wanted you to be rich. Because He thought you could, you know, He wants you to use it for His glory. Why am I in this position? Or why is that person in that position? I want that position. Well, if God wanted you that position and you're following the will of God, you'd have that position. Instead of being envious about it, serve God where you are and give Him the glory for everything. Stop wishing you were something that you're not. You know, a lot of people, we go through our lives, what? We waste our lives wishing we were something that we're not. Amen? And the church suffers because of it. There are divisions, there are hates and angers and everything because we're envious of what somebody else has, but if we would just say, do away with it, put it aside, get rid of it. Didn't Scripture say we're supposed to weep with those that weep and laugh with those that laugh? Instead, we get jealous of the ones that are laughing if you don't feel like laughing. We're envious, and God says, no, get rid of it. Cast it aside. Then he says, evil speaking. That's man, that covers everything. Evil speaking. Backbiting, lying, slander, trying to defame somebody. Evil speaking. Hey, by the way, did you guys hear what Peter did? And everybody's going, really? See, that's what happens. We want to listen to the bad things about people. And so sometimes if we're not careful, not only does God say we're to get rid of evil speaking, but we have to get rid of the inclination to want to listen to evil speaking. That's why so many of these reality TV shows are such a big hit. Why? Because we always want to hear the bad things that are happening in other people's lives. But we're to get rid of not just evil speaking, but all evil speaking. Gossip. We don't hear a lot about that anymore, but that ruins a person. Gossip. Backbiting. Telling stories about somebody that aren't really true. They're only half true. Slander. And it's interesting that this is not the only place. There are several other places where God mentions these same sins. These are things that are evident in believers' lives that God says they shouldn't be. So if they're evident in your life, if they're evident in my life, we need to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness so that we don't become like this. Because this is not just a detriment to ourselves. This is a detriment to the church of Almighty God. Now, so we get rid of all these things. And so once we get rid of it, once we get rid of these desires, we need to replace it with something else. And that something else is the Word of God. Verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, having the milk of the Word is just where you start. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, but not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and weak as men?" So Paul said these same things that we read about and looked at in verse 1, when these exist, these are carnal things, and that's why you need to get back to the milk of the Word. The simple things. The basics. But not just stay there. We're to grow. We're allowed, we need to, where it says that you can grow thereby, that means to grow up. One of the things that saddens me is when I'm talking to people out in town and they say, "I'm a Christian." "Well, how long have you been a Christian?" "Oh, I've been a Christian for, 10 years or 12 years or for a long time." And they don't have a clue what God's Word says. They have a few verses here, and they've heard this maybe, but they don't have a clue what it says. "Well, do you go to church?" "Oh, yeah, I go here, I go there," wherever. God says He wants you to take His Word and use it to grow up. I know that may be like stepping on some people's toes, but that's what God says. He wants you to grow up in His Word. You start with the simple things and you grow up into it. You learn from it. I know many of you, I've been here for a few years, and it's exciting as talking to some of you. We go through Bible studies and things like that, how much knowledge and how much growth people have had in the Word of God. But when you get finally, when you're totally mature, you never are. You never know enough about God's Word. You never know as much about God's Word as God does. That doesn't mean you stop. That means you keep studying. Then to say, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Didn't just say read a verse once a day. It doesn't say read a verse once a week or read a chapter every day. I mean, that's nice, but along with that, He wants us to study. And sometimes study doesn't have to take a long time. Sometimes study is just taking a word of God, taking a verse or a couple of verses, and just letting them run through your head all day long. Just repeat them over and over and ask yourself and ask the Spirit to show you. What does that mean? What does this mean? You don't have to have a full library and study all the books in it. It's nice if you want to. And by the way, if anybody needs to study, I have a full library. If you have a computer, you can get a full library on a computer. Just a while back, Talking about technology. I have a Kindle, smaller than my Bible. I found a computer program that's free. And with that, there's about 12 or 14 different commentaries, Bible maps, dictionaries that you can add onto it. It's all free. And you can go, and it's got like Strong's numbers. You can hit one button, and for every word, it shows you the Strong's number. You hit on that, it gives you the definition of the word. I can take my Kindle, one little thing, and sit there when I'm studying a passage and use about a dozen different commentaries and Bible dictionaries and not even have to get up and pull one book out of the shelf. Man. So I know some of you don't have those things, but for some of the younger generation that use them, there is no excuse not to study the Word of God. None. Because they all have iPads, iPods, Kindles, something. And all of this stuff, and there's so much free stuff that's available. And it's easy to use once you figure out, you know, a few little things. I can just, one little push. I can read Matthew Henry's commentary, another one. Spurgeon's commentary, another. Clark commentary, another one. Gill's commentary, another push. And it just switches. I mean, it is like that quick. Quicker in a blink of an eye. There's no reason why believers today, either through hard copy books, which are readily available, through the Word of God or through other ways, there's no reason why we can't grow in the Word of God. None. Except we choose not to. And I know it takes time. But anything we do takes time. That's why he likens the Word of God to the milk and to the meat. It's just like taking a meal. We always seem to find time to eat, don't we? I mean, I do. You always find time to eat. So find a little time to nourish on the Word of God. I know some of you talk to me, they have like the daily bread, they study that thing, and there's a set time every day. Start the day so we can grow, and we have to allow the Word of God to nourish us just like a meal, to let us grow in His Word. Milk is the basic simple food, and as we get to learning these things, the milk part, then we can grow into the meat things. And there's some really deep things in the Word of God that when you start to learn them, you'll go, oh yeah, that's why God wants us to do that. That's why this happened. It's really exciting to study the Word of God. I'll be studying it sometime, and I've talked to others do the same thing. I'll be reading a verse, and all of a sudden it's like the Holy Spirit says, that's what that means. And I'll go, it's like this light comes on. It's like, oh yeah, that's what that means. And studying the Word of God can be exciting if you allow it. Just think of it as your favorite meal of the day or your favorite food. You know, some people look at studying the Word of God as a meal as just, oh, that's just bread and water. No, it's more than just bread and water. It's the bread of life and the living waters. And so we study it. So we need to be committed to progress in the Word, to get rid of the evil desires and get the good desires in our heart. And also in verse 5, as we're doing this, notice in verse 5, it says, ye also as lively stones are built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. What's our purpose? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices to Him. Studying the Word of God could be a sacrifice, but it's a spiritual sacrifice. And when you do it, God will be pleased. Let me give you just a few more spiritual sacrifices. Psalm 4:5. It says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in God. in the Lord. There's a sacrifice of righteousness. That's doing the right thing. That goes back to the first five things we looked at. When we get rid of the bad things, we replace it with doing the right thing. And sometimes it can be a sacrifice. But when you offer the sacrifice of righteousness, it is a sacrifice pleasing to God. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So sometimes we have to offer him a sacrifice of a broken spirit, a broken heart, of coming to him and just crying out to him, knowing that, Lord, I've sinned against you. I don't want that. And my heart's broken. That can be a sacrifice. Because sometimes in our pride, we don't want to even admit to God that there's things wrong in our life. So it could be a sacrifice. Philippians 4:18. Paul said, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Sometimes our sacrifices are just helping other people out. And that's what Paul's talking about. You know, we take up faith promise for our missionaries. That's a sacrifice acceptable to God. We see the needs of somebody around us and we're able to help them in some way. That's a sacrifice acceptable to God. We don't look at helping people as being a sacrifice, but that's the way God looks at it. Even Jesus said, if you want to serve him, he says, if you give a drink of water to one of these in my name, it's the same as giving it to me. It's a sacrifice acceptable to God. He also tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did not as they hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord. A sacrifice that we need to make is a sacrifice of ourselves. Just like it tells us in Romans 12, we're to offer ourselves a living sacrifice. When we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, we give ourselves first to the Lord. It's a sacrifice acceptable to him. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We're to offer him a sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to him. Scripture tells us, when are we supposed to give God thanks? In everything and all things, give thanks. And sometimes that can be a sacrifice that's acceptable to God. Things happen in our lives that aren't pleasing. We can thank God that he's still with us. We can thank God for the salvation he's given to us. There's always something to thank God for. Sometimes it may be a sacrifice to praise him in the bad times, but it'd be a sacrifice well pleasing to the Lord. So how can we be committed? We can be committed by getting rid of the bad things and filling it up with the Word of God. And we can be committed by offering all of these sacrifices, these spiritual sacrifices, to God. But it takes commitment. It takes us saying, I will do this because this is what God desires for me. Let's all stand, please. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart this morning. We covered a couple of different areas, getting rid of some bad things in our lives. The malice, the guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. Get rid of those. Maybe there's something else in your life that you've been holding on to. Go to the Lord, repent, ask his forgiveness, he'll give it to you. It's really that simple. Perhaps you're saying, well, I don't know how to do that because I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior. I'm not 100% sure I go to heaven. Well, that's the first step. That's believing in your heart that he died on a cross for your sins, that he died, was buried, and rose the third day. Through that, through faith in that, we can have the forgiveness of sins. Through faith in him, we can have all of our other sins forgiven as we live the Christian life. Perhaps you haven't been desiring the sincere milk of the word. And because you don't desire it, you're not growing. And you may be wondering why. Desire it. Want it. Want it so bad that you have to have it every day. Just like food. So you'll grow. You say, well, I really haven't grown as a Christian in many years. You need the Word of God in your life to grow. Perhaps you haven't sacrificed in any of these ways. You haven't offered spiritual sacrifices of praise, of thanksgiving, of giving of yourself. Any of these things you know about. Now, as we go to prayer, you respond by going to God and talking to Him now. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for Your Word. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard to grasp. Sometimes, Lord, we just don't want to acknowledge that what You said is really true. But Lord, as we come to You now, let us realize that the Word of God endures forever. That Your Word needs to be in our life, Lord. We need to study it. We need to learn it. We need to grow by it. And while we're growing, Lord, we need to offer up sacrifices of praise and righteousness and of ourselves to You, Lord. As we look at our lives, help us, Lord, to come to You. Talk to You, Lord. And if something needs to change, Lord, let us talk to You about it. And with Your help and the Holy Spirit's help, we'll be able to change. We thank You, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.